Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and we had another remarkable week on the PGA Tour, and I've got to talk to somebody about it. So let's do it. Kyle Porter, good morning, sir. Welcome in, and a little Monday morning golf. How about that for you?
Yeah, you and I were up early watching Mayakoba. It was a bunch of Georgia guys in the finale there between, you know, Vaughn Taylor and Brendan Todd, Harris English, either from there, played there, and all to get into to the Masters next year. So Brendan Todd, two in a row. How about this? More wins in 2019 than Fowler, Day, and Spieth combined. I bet you could have won some money on that at the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, you could have got some really good odds on a lot of this. And, you know, to your Georgia point, that's a lot of foreshadowing for next week. There's going to be a ton of those University of Georgia guys over there in Sea Island. But, yeah, Brendan Todd, back-to-back winner. I believe if he wins for a third time, it would be the first time since Tiger did it in 2006. This is really just remarkable from a guy who, you know, at the end of 2018 was ranked like 2000th in the world. Even 3 weeks ago, he was like 500th in the world. And now he's sitting there at, I believe, 83rd. And, you know, we had talked about Brendan Todd, I guess it was last week or the week before with Mark Immelman. And he was chatting through this transformation that Todd has gone through. And Kyle, I guess it's working, my man.
Yeah, it really is. You know, he talked. It was interesting. Todd was talking to Golf Channel afterwards, and he was just talking about how, like, he's like, the natural progression is that your confidence carries over from having won the previous tournament you played in Bermuda. And I think, I don't know, man, I think sometimes you and I look at like the numbers and the day, like all this different stuff. And it's like, we forget about how meaningful, because of how thin like these margins are, like we forget about how meaningful just being confident is. And even though you hear like even somebody like Rory talk about it, and you're like, I don't know, like I guess I believe that kind of. And then Brendan Todd wins two in a row, and you're like, oh, that's kind of a real thing.
Well, it's really funny because, you know, in my world specifically, like the betting, the fantasy world, and even just, you know, we know how hard it is for guys to go back to back. Now Todd did have a week in between, and I think it really helped that I don't want to say that Bermuda Championship, you know, kind of flies under the radar, but it kind of does. And sometimes when you win the week before, you have just all these obligations of media and all everything that's going on, that it can be a drain on some of these guys, especially for, you know, whether it's first time winners or guys who haven't won in a while. And I'm wondering if Todd kind of, you know, because it was the alternate event in Bermuda, he could kind of get to Mayakoba under the radar a little bit. He didn't have to deal with probably as much of that as he would have expected, and easy for him to just kind of keep the train rolling here.
Yeah. And also just being the fall. I mean, like even Tiger and Rory winning in Asia, it's just, it feels like, I don't know. Like, doesn't some of this stuff feel just under the radar because of the time of year?
Yeah, probably. And there's you know, not as many eyeballs or ears on everything. But I think it's funny now that I saw a tweet that basically since Brooks said he had no rivals, what, like Justin Thomas has won, Rory has won, Tiger has won. Like, you got some rivals, bro. I think you might be in for a long year.
Are you actively, this is, we're off the, we'll get back to Mayakoba in a second, but are you actively rooting for that, like for do you, whenever the Koepka thing comes up, because I feel like there are pretty two pretty distinct camps, are you rooting for or against like the Koepka train continuing to choo-choo down the track?
I really like Koepka, but I also like heavyweight bouts. Like I want to see, you know, the final group of a major be Rory and Koepka and Tiger and Koepka. And I don't really care. I guess I would care more if it was Tiger trying to win a major, but I don't really care what the outcome is as long as you're getting the best from both guys. You know, I think we've seen Rory struggle on Sundays at some points, then the meltdown that Brooks had, which was very uncharacteristic of him, you know, when he was playing with Rory. That's just like, I want to see both guys at their best. So I don't really care if Koepka goes out and wins eight straight majors as long as he's getting challenged by everybody else and it's a lot of good golf.
Yeah, I agree. I do think he's a little bit – I was talking to some guys about this. I think it was at the U.S. Open this year. He's a little bit put himself in this corner of like what's he going to say whenever it goes badly, right? Yeah. Like, because he's going to get beat. Like, he's going to get pummeled on
You mean he's not going to win 75% of his majors or whatever for the next
Yeah, exactly. And so you're like, well, I don't know. I'm sort of rooting to see that, but I also kind of root for like complete dominance by people because I think that's also interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want it all, I guess.
Usually in sports dynasties, whether, you know, it's the Patriots or Tiger or like when, you know, Serena Williams was doing her thing, like, it usually just allows you to be a huge fan of that person, or you can root against it and everybody kind of picks a side. I don't know. I mean, we can get back to Mayaka over here, but Koepka's an interesting little guy, or not little guy, but like, I think he cares way more than he leads on, right? When he's like, oh, I'm out here practicing in these events and I don't care between holes 5 and 13. Like, that's fake, right? He's just like, that's like either a defense mechanism or some type of like sports psychologist telling him like, hey, like if you think like this and put that out in the universe, like, you know, you won't be setting yourself up for disaster. Like, these guys play mental Olympics with themselves.
Yes, he does care. He cares about a lot of things way more. Just from having talked to different people, like he cares about a lot way more than he lets on. And yeah. I think when you're that aggressive about how, like, wanting people to know that you don't care, like, it becomes fairly obvious that you do. But I think it goes beyond just the winning stuff. Like, I think he cares about the status and the ranking. Like, I think he cares a lot about all those things. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see how he handles it whenever he drops to 9 in the world or 30th in the world or whatever down the road.
Which would still be awesome, but not when you've kind of set yourself up into this, like, yeah, he's kind of talked himself into a corner that we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
All right. So back to Mayakoba.
Easy transition.
Easy transition back to Brendan Todd. There were so many great stats that came out of this because of, you know, I mean, Brendan Todd started his season miscut, 28th, win. Like that right there is crazy. This is a guy who I looked him up. He's got like 750 rounds between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour. And his best round ever was the final round, the 62 he shot at the final round in Bermuda. And then his second best round ever was the first round at Mayakoba. So he literally, in back-to-back rounds, over a huge sample size of 750 rounds, the guy shoots back-to-back his two best rounds. And he's now really solidified. I mean, 822 FedEx Cup points already, Kyle. That probably gets him into BMW Championship pretty easily if you look back at last year's standings and how many points it took to get there. So we're going to see a lot of Brendan Todd this year and for a long time into the season. I don't expect him to continue to win every single week. What would be like your, you know, what are we expecting out of Brendan Todd for the rest of, you know, the 2019-2020 year?
It feels a little, who was it that won? Oh, it was
like Kevin Tway or like,
no, he won Mayakoba a couple years ago. He won
Desire.
Yeah, Patton Kizzire. There you go. And he finished 30th because Spieth finished 31st and Kizzire got into the Tour Championship based on like essentially what he did through like January 14 or whatever.
Yeah, because he went on and won Sony right after.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So it feels a little like that. The stuff about like people are like, oh, Tiger should pick him for the President's Cup, and
no,
it's like, maybe not. I mean, if he does, whatever, but we can, you know, let's relax. Aaron Rodgers, let's relax
there,
a little bit.
Yeah, There is zero chance he makes this. Like, that's fairly insane. There's I don't even know how many guys there are that I would pick ahead of Brendan Todd, but it's quite a few.
So I'm looking. How about this? I'm looking at the top 100 in the world right now, and you have like 10 guys who are ranked outside the top. Let's see, 225 to start the year, who are now inside the top 100. And you have four that were ranked outside the top 1,000.
Oh, man.
So you've got five outside. So Nate Lashley was 477 to start the year.
Yeah.
And he's now 87. Victor Hovland, a lot of these are amateurs. Victor Hovland was 1,200 to start the year. He's now number 95 in the world. Scottie Scheffler, your boy, 1589 to start the year, 74 in the world now. I can't believe he's ahead of Hovland.
Dude, he's so good. Colin, that's the only thing I can ever say about him.
He's so good. Colin Morikawa, 2006 in the world. He's 72nd now. And Brendan Todd, 2006 in the world. He's 83rd now, which is just – it's crazy. It's crazy to look at. I mean, we keep talking about it, and it's still like every time I look at it, I'm like, wait a second, what?
Yeah, there's – I think the tour, not only is it so deep, it's these young guys. I mean, you rattled off a lot of them too. Like – they show up the day they get out of, you know, their amateur status, or, you know, as soon as they're done college, and they're good and they're competing and they're flying up the official world golf rankings, which I think is a testament. The future of the PGA Tour and golf in general, I think, is awesome. But you're and then just, you know, we're kind of stats guys and we like these little facts. Like, this is why no one will be ranked number one for however many weeks that Tiger did it, or, you know, for Phil to stay in even the top 50 for as long as he did. There's just so many good guys all shuffling around. And when you can shoot up the rankings by, you know, winning a couple of weeks and playing well, like, yeah, this I'm looking at the rankings now, too. And these names are just going to shuffle constantly forever.
Well, and I think this is a little bit why you hear guys say, like, you know, one swing away or one round away, because Brendan Todd, you know, he plays four rounds in an opposite field event. He plays four rounds in a pretty weak field event in Mayakoba.
Yeah.
And now he's in the Masters. He's in the top 100. He's looking at potential WGC events. Yeah. And you're like, it's like 8 days, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's such an alluring, intoxicating thing to think like, that could be me. And that's why guys can't give this stuff up, because it's so, you're like, well, wait a second, Brendan Todd did this, I can do that. And I think that part of it is really fascinating, because there's 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 guys like that in the world.
Yeah. This week to me feels a lot, almost like a redemption week. I know Brendan Todd got it in Bermuda, but he backs it up this week. Harris English, who, you know, someone else who kind of fell off the radar for quite a bit, he comes in and cashes in another top five finish. He now has, to start this year, let me pull this up really quickly, he has four top tens in five starts this year, and he had four in his previous 79 starts coming into the season. You had chatted about this, I guess it was last week. I mean, time is a flat circle. I don't know when this was, but you said he's the type of guy that, like, you know, he looks like he could be like the fourth or fifth ranked player in the world on skill set.
Yeah.
He's playing great, and now he's going to go back to another one of these, like, native Georgia guys going back to Sea Island, where, like, this run might not stop for a bit.
Yeah, I agree. He I was watching him just over the weekend, and his swing is so good, and he just looks confident with it. I'm excited about him. I don't know, you know, again, this might be a thing where it's like he plays a couple good fall events, gets into, I mean, I still go back to, like, he missed the top 125 this year. He had to go to Korn Ferry Final. So maybe this is just a start that eventually gets him into the top 125, or kind of spurs him on toward that. But, I don't know. It's sort of the Brendan Todd thing. If he's just playing with so much confidence right now, I don't think there would be no surprise if he won Sea Island this week.
Yeah. And I want to get your opinion on this, 'cause this is something that I think about a lot. Harris English, if you would have told him, hey, you finished in fifth place before the week started, I think he would have been very thrilled with that. He goes out and he shoots 65, 64. He was the 36th hole leader. Struggles a little bit on the weekend, just by, you know, he goes out, shoots 68, 70, nothing too egregious, but if you would have flipped those, if you would have started 68-70 and then kind of charged up to fifth place, like, do we perceive that differently? Does he perceive that differently going into next week? Now he has quote unquote momentum and he's playing well, when really, hey, it's a couple of rounds either way. You finished in fifth place. That's a great result.
Yeah, I think about this a lot too, and it's so weird that it's not weird, it's normal, but it's
is it weird or normal?
it's normal, but it's strange, I guess, that we remember shots into 16 and 17 and 18 at the Masters, and we don't remember like the Thursday shots on the third hole, and they're the exact like they're equivalent. They're the same. Right. It's the same thing. And we do it in all sports. It's not, you know, it's not different in football or basketball or whatever. But it does. I don't know. I think it is different. I guess. I mean, I think in golf, it's actually more. It's more the same because you're not. It's the one sport where you're not like playing defense. You're not like you can't do anything to affect the other team. So like you're only like the only thing you're worried about is like your shot. So it's more so, like. The Thursday is more similar to the Sunday than if this was like the first quarter of a football game versus the fourth quarter. Right. But it still is strange just like how much we view those things differently when we think about the way that guys are playing.
Yeah. And this can kind of be extrapolated. I mean, you mentioned it. If the Masters is a perfect example. If Molinari dunks that ball on 12 on Thursday instead of Sunday, and he still finishes as highly as he did, he probably sees that as a great outcome.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, now we've read the articles like, hey, you know, that Sunday at the Masters kind of messed him up. And his results for a while were showing into that. That's a tough thing to get over. And it's crazy that the human mind, you know, just based on the order that things happen in, like, it's tough to kind of compartmentalize that and just say, oh, it's just another shot, when really, you know, we know it is, but we know it's not.
I know. And that's why, like, I know statistically, like, clutch and pressure and all this stuff are not like real things. But then you like, you talk to Molinari and you're like, wait a second. Like, statistically, this might not bear out, but the way he is thinking about it, there's like real weight to it. And so I think when you said the order that things happen, that's such a bizarre like concept that the exact same outcomes could happen in a different order and it would affect you. It might even give you more confidence going forward.
Of course.
And that's that can go like poorly if you start thinking about that for too long.
Yeah, this is I love thinking about this. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, so I've trusted the process. I was a big Sam Hinkie guy, and Sam Hinkie's like this outside thinker, and he used to look at highlights, game highlights in random order. He didn't want to see something that happened like in the first quarter, then you see something in the third quarter, then you see something and he would just mix them all up because he did not want to be influenced by like, hey, a really hot run that a guy got on, and he was just trying to look at every individual event as an individual event, which is like makes complete sense, but also doesn't like my brain can't wrap around that. Like I know that's better, but like, yeah, then you hear these guys talk about it. And in the same way of being one shot away, one bad shot can kind of mess you up.
Yeah, totally. That is, I didn't know that he used to do that. That's both crazy and brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fine line between those two. All right, quick other recap of the rest of this Mayakoba Golf Classic. The big boys kind of let us down a little bit. Matt Kuchar, you know, he ends up like Matt Kuchar is the king of like the backdoor top 10, top 15, where he was never in play in this thing, but he shows up with like a 14th place finish. He seems to do that quite a bit this time with a 62 in the final round, including an ace. But all of our other guys here, Tony Finau misses the cut. Joaquin Neiman misses the cut. Victor misses the cut.
Tough.
And Jason Day, dangerously close to like dead last, five over, ends up finishing. Let's see, one guy withdraws. He's in. There's only like a handful of guys below him down there. Even more concerning, considering we're now 4 weeks away from the President's Cup.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Day thing is, I don't know. I was interested to hear Eric Patterson agree with me last week just about him on this President's Cup team and just the lack of confidence that we both kind of have in him in that spot, in that role. And, I don't know. He's, it's weird that he won twice last year. I was looking at that because
that is true. It seems like quite a long ways away.
Yeah. And I remember I was at the, I think you, I can't remember. It was some tournament. It might've been 17 PGA. We're sitting around one night, like after the third round, and just everybody's just firing off just the hottest takes that they have that might also be true, like that they think could come to fruition.
We do that every single week here.
And so, yeah, yeah, exactly. And so mine was that Jason Day would never win again. And I was a year early, I think.
Yeah, maybe he looked really good a year later.
But yeah, he's just, I don't know. 77 on that course is, that's not a good scene.
Yeah, there were some really low numbers out there and wet conditions and all that. Yeah, that's I'm raising the red flag, major concerns. All right, Mayakoba, we'll switch over to Europe, but before we do, anything else out of Mayakoba? I mean, there I don't owe you a Denny McCarthy Pittsburgh Pirates jersey finished in a tie for 48th, but yeah, it was a fun one. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good. I thought the Carlos Ortiz thing was fun. You know, he was making a run on Sunday, finished one stroke back of Brendan Todd. That was cool because, you know, I know he's not from the town, but he's at least from the country. And people, the like 11 people that were there were clearly rooting for him to win the event. So I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know, not... It's not a ton out of it. CT Pan showing up, T11. Yeah,
I was going to say that. The plus side for the President's Cup team, CT Pan plays really well, goes 66-67 in the third and fourth rounds, yeah, to finish T11, as you mentioned. That was inspiring. I like that.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, Vaughn Taylor, I mean, leaving the putt short on 18 was, that was rough because, you know, you just have so few, there's so few times in your career where you're in that position. Right. And for him, hadn't won since 2016. I think he's only won twice since 2006, or maybe just the one win since 2006. And, you know, to get into the Masters, he's only played in five match. It just, that was rough. I was rooting for him to make that and send it into a playoff, but he left it short. So that was unfortunate.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Yeah, very unfortunate. A guy who did not fade on Sunday is our buddy Tommy Fleetwood over in South Africa. Wins the Ned Bank Golf Challenge in a playoff, right, against Marcus Kienholt.
Yep.
And this is, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, I'd love to see him win something big over here. Really like the guy. What's your initial reaction to Tommy taking this one down?
You know, I think my initial reaction is just that it's weird that it's been almost two years since he's won. He won January of 18, and so we're 22 months removed from that. And he played great on Sunday. I mean, he shot a 65 on Sunday. He had three eagles chipped in. I mean, he was lights out. And I think that, you know, there are very few guys that when they start feeling it like that, that you're like, I don't know what's going to happen here. Like, he might literally birdie every hole. And I guess that could be true of a lot of guys. I don't think it's true of more than a handful, and he's definitely in the handful. So it was cool to see him win and position himself nicely for the race to Dubai next week in Dubai.
Yeah, so before we get to that, I love seeing Tommy get hot. Like, he did at the U.S. Open that one year. I guess it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Just can absolutely get scorching. One thing I didn't like, and again, this kind of goes back to our Harris English, you know, order of operations conversation. Louis Oosthuizen finishes in sixth place by shooting a 75 on Sunday, which is 10 shots off of what Tommy Fleetwood shot on Sunday to lose by or miss out on the playoff by five strokes. Kind of another one of these situations where, hey, he starts with a 63, he ends with a 75. Louis might look at this as a disappointment when, you know, if we can get him in the psych chair for a bit, we'll tell him it's okay, Louis. It's just a different order for you.
Yeah, and he shot a 63 in round one on Thursday. So I think even harder for him to swallow than Fleetwood getting in by 10 in the final round is a 12 shot swing between his first and last round. That was tough for him. Going back to Fleetwood though, so this is his fifth win on the European Tour. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour, obviously. Yep. Where do you stand on him? Number 10 player in the world. Is it, does he win enough? Does he not win enough? Do you care? Like, what's your take on that?
Man, I think it's an incredible accomplishment to be the number 10 ranked player in the world, and I don't think you'd ever argue with that. Like, when you look at it, like, yeah, Tommy fits with these guys amongst his peers here in this ranking. Like, he that makes sense. He does not win enough, but what I'm learning and what I'm trying to come to grips with, Kyle, is that a lot of guys don't win enough. Tony Finau doesn't win enough. Ricky Fowler doesn't win enough. Louis Oosthuizen, you know, doesn't win enough. There's just I'm so now cemented in how hard it is to win, and to measure guys consistently on how many times they beat a field of, say, 144 golfers, when a lot of times they're beating 142 of those golfers or 140 of those golfers, is still an incredible accomplishment. So not trying to hand out participation trophies to everybody, but I just think putting it into perspective that winning is really, really hard. And to your point earlier, you can't control everybody else. Someone can just run out and boat race you, and you can, and you know what, Phil Mickelson at the Open Championship, right? Beats everybody by a million shots, but loses to the one guy who, you know, Stenson goes nuclear on him. So I'm trying to just put wins into perspective, and kind of look at it from a much more holistic, standpoint, but no, Tommy doesn't win enough, but he's not alone there.
I think that, I've always wished that there was a stat for, because we just got done talking about this. Mentally, I think it's so, I mean, everybody who plays golf says this, mentally it's so much tougher if you're leading on Saturday night, you got to go like fend off, you know, 11 guys on Sunday. And if you finish second that way, than if you shoot a 64 on Sunday from, you know, you're teeing off at like 11 a.m. Like, that's just easier. It's easier for all of those guys to do. And I get it. Like, you add them all up and it's the same thing. But I wish there was a way to sort of contextualize guys' seasons in that way, rather than just like, oh, well, you had five top tens. And you're like, well, I need, like, what kind of top tens were they? Because that matters, I think, when you're sort of breaking down a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I'd like to see, maybe I'll do this at some point, like how many shots off the lead were you, or like as the whole thing, because Matt Kuchar, I think, is the perfect example of this. I mentioned it earlier. He top 10s everything, but there's so many, which is a great testament to him, and it's why he's like eighth on the all-time money list. But there's a lot of tournaments he's just never in. And he doesn't give up. And he goes out and shoots something low on Saturday, shoots something low on Sunday, and backdoors his way in. But yeah, you're right. There's probably a metric out there that would be better at trying to figure out, like, almost like a quality start a quality start in baseball, right?
Yeah.
Like what's a quality start in golf?
Totally. And I did a thing. I did a project, I think last year, where I looked at like what guys gave themselves a real shot on Sunday at majors. So who was within three going into Sunday? Cause that's like a quality major, right? Like that's like what you're playing for, is to be within three going into the final round on Sunday. And it was really interesting because you see that guys like Rory didn't have very many quality starts, so to speak, but he won all of them. He was like four for five. And so I don't know. I don't know that it means anything. I wish that there were more mainstream ways. Like I wish that there were more ways that were considered like popular in the mainstream to determine who's great at golf and who is not.
I like that. Okay. Well, that's a project we'll work on over the course of the next. But you mentioned, yeah, the race to Dubai, and I guess the race is over because it's here. It's the week. So World Tour Championship in Dubai. We mentioned this before we went live. You know, if you had to guess who the leader of these Race to Dubai rankings are, might not remember. Bernd Wiesberger, you know, has played 28 tournaments. He's won three times. He's the man leading into this with Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, Shane Lowry, and Matt Fitzpatrick rounding out the top five. Pretty surprised to see Wiesberger up here, I guess.
Yeah, he was always just the guy that played the final round of Valhalla with Rory to me in 2000 in the 14 PGA. But yeah, he's had a great season. He won, I don't have it in front of me, I think he won Italian Open. He won a couple of Rolex events. What do you have it in front of you? What else?
I'm trying to pull it up right now. He played a lot, 28 events. So you look at some of these other guys near the top. I mean, Matt Wallace basically was the guy in seventh who played the next most. He played 26 events. Fleetwood, Rahm, Lowry, Fitzpatrick, they all played less than 20. But yeah, so Wiesberger goes out and let's see, he won the Italian Open and he won
Scottish Open.
Scottish Open
and the Made in Denmark.
There you go. I was gonna say the European Tour website is foreign to me. Here we go. Got it. Okay. So a great year, and now's the time, right? So this is what they've all been playing towards. You know, Rory's in sixth, Louis in ninth. My buddy Eric Van Ruin, I love that guy. I wish he'd win more. In tenth, and yeah, this is a pretty star-studded field that they're going to have in Dubai this week. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You've got, I mean, I think mathematically, if I looked at it right, only the top five have a shot. So it goes Wiesberger, yeah, and then it goes Fleetwood, and then you've got Rahm, Shane Lowry, and Fitzpatrick. So those are the five that could potentially do it.
Right.
But you know, it will be, I mean, it's, you're still like, Rory's playing his last event of the year. We might not see him for a couple more months. So it's going to be, it'll be a lot of fun. It's definitely the event of the week. And Lou, sorry, Davis Love III and, RSM, it's, you know, Dubai will be the biggest event this week.
Yeah. And it's funny. This is kind of like, a little bow on the year here, because we've got the RSM, we've got the Race to Dubai. And then, yeah, we're going to go a little dark for a bit. You know, you'll have like the Hero World Challenge, you'll have the President's Cup, but it won't be until really the Century Tournament of Champions when these guys kick it back up. Now I know how golf goes, where that'll fly by, you know, it'll be like, oh my gosh, 3 weeks. And then we'll blink our eyes and we'll be chatting about the Tournament of Champions. But this is an opportunity to put a really good, just a small bow on the golf year.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think it's easy to kind of, I don't know, make fun of some of these races and awards and cups and like
the Wyndham Cup championship.
Yeah, just all this stuff. It's easy to whatever, knock on stuff. But if you look back at sort of the order of merit is what it used to be called on the European Tour, and now it's the Race to Dubai, and it sort of crowns their like year long champion. That's like it's very indicative of who is the best, you know, not the champion golfer of the year, but the best golfer on the European Tour throughout the year. I think last year was Molinari, and you look at his season and you're like, yeah, that's real. Like that's a real thing. it's been Stenson and Rory and I think Westwood won it a couple times. So, yes, like the race to Dubai, like, what, you know, thousands of points, like, it's easy to sort of make fun of it, but it also, I think, in the end, crowns somebody who's had a really, really good season. You know, I don't know if Weisberger's that guy, but we'll see how it plays out. I think it's going to eventually be Rahm. I think he's going to have a big week, and I think it'll shine a light on how awesome he's been basically since the U.S. Open this summer.
Yeah, and we won't be surprised if Rahm goes out and ends up winning this thing. I agree with you. It is fun to poke fun at them, and we still will, but yeah, Race to Dubai is actually one of the better ones, believe it or not, so should be a good time. I think that is probably it for us, Kyle. Any parting words as we wrap up down here? RSM, we've got the Race to Dubai. I'm excited.
Yeah, it'll be a good week. My only other thing, I read a really good column this morning on Golf Week by Beth Ann Nichols about loneliness in professional golf, and I tweeted it out so people can go there and check it out. But it was fascinating because I think everybody sort of lionizes professional golfers and their lives, and you see Fowler's Instagram and all this different stuff, and it's like, that's not reality. And so everybody should go read it, check it out. Beth Ann's great. It's a great column. So that's all I got.
Beautiful. Follow Kyle on Twitter. It's at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm at Rick Run Good, and thank you, Kyle. We'll do it again soon.
Talk soon, Rick.
All right.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.